Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to give us grace today. Help us to overcome in all things. Help us to be graceful in your ways and help us to seek you out first above all things, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. We are preparing for the days to come and we just give praise and thanks unto you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, all right, saints, God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. And Father, we ask you to help us, give us your wisdom. I want to continue with the man-child reformers that are coming. This is the first revelation I want to share with you is about being prepared, is about the man-child reformers becoming prepared. And this was given to Andrew Gelinas on January 17th of this 2020. He said, I was going to take a bath and a woman handed me a shimmering, pearlescent white bar of soap and encouraged me to use it because of how well it will make the skin shine and glow. Well, let me say that knowing a little bit about the rest of this revelation, it helps me to see here that the woman church is really more interested in looks and cleansing of the outer works and man rather than the inner man. Because then the revelation goes on and says, as I was bathing using the woman's soap, I suddenly noticed another bar of soap that was more of a cream color and regular looking. In other words, less glorious to man, right? Only it was bitten completely in half from one end. And I immediately became irritated at the sight of it. And after storming out of the bath, I asked each of my four children which one of them had eaten it. Finally, Riley, whose nickname has always been the man child, they started calling him that from his birth, right? Spoke up and confessed to it. And after waking, I thought of how Jesus instructs us to wash first the inside of the cup. And, well, we know that the man-child is preparing to serve God and his people by cleaning up his man of the heart, so to speak. You know, Luke 6, 39 through 42 says this, and he spake also a parable unto them, can the blind guide the blind? Shall they not both fall into the pit? Well, no doubt he was slighting the leadership of the church there, the Old Testament church there, for their lack in being able to see and understand and lead, because their nature was not to be able to lead correctly. There was a lot of self-righteousness there, false doctrine there, demonic activity there, and so on. In fact, he said of them, you're of your father the devil. So they can't really lead God in heavenly places, and neither could they do this today in Christianity. And the Lord is educating and gifting a man-child body to do this. Because the church is in the same kind of shape it was then. And verse 40 goes on to say, the disciple is not above his teacher, but every one, when he is perfected, shall be as his teacher. So Jesus spent a lot of time teaching those early disciples in his ways. He spent a lot of time with them because he knew that they were the foundation for the church. So he spent a lot of time getting them corrected on their doctrine and understanding of the kingdom, the real kingdom. And, of course, he's doing the same thing today in preparing a man-child to do this work. And he went on in 41 to say, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Amen. This is important that we have to first be taught before we can teach. And this is what God can do if someone seeks him out rather than seeks out knowledge in the apostate church. You know, seeking him out, seeking his word out, loving the word of God. Or how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me cast out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye. So that's our first job, is to get to know God. You can't give away what you don't have. And the Pharisees didn't have it, and they couldn't give it away. All they could give away is more of the same. And the Pharisees in Christianity, that's all they're doing, is passing on what their illustrious leaders taught them. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Well, amen. So this preparation is going on at this time, and it's about to come to an end here when the man-child is anointed to do this work. As you know, Jesus taught the disciples, even on the job training, and then he anointed them to do the work when he left. All right. And this next revelation is about the man-child now ready to do the work of delivering the church. And this is from Shalonda Kelton, Marie Kelton. And she got this on March the 28th of this 2020. She said, in this dream, I'm in a school. And I went to different areas in the school. The first was a gym. Well, I thought most Christians are more interested in looks and physical strength than they are spiritual strength. And that's what's needed, of course, against the demonic enemies that are ruling over the church. I mean, people know so much about how to be strong in the world and how to do the things that they were taught ways by their parents and by the carnal church, how to do things. But the Lord is teaching us how to walk by faith and not by sight, which is totally contrary to what you do when you live in your own strength, right? So she said the second place that she went was a classroom where they were teaching the students about spiritual warfare. There were demonic-looking creatures in the front of the class. Well, that's the situation we have now. There are many doctrines of demons, as the Bible calls them, taught in the church, which weakens the body spiritually and gives Satan power over the body. Reformers will bring many back to the scriptures and out from among them. Praise be to God. And we're entering that stage now. These reformers are coming to maturity, and the bride is coming to maturity, and the man-child through the bride is going to raise up the church in the coming days as they come to more maturity, so on and so forth. So the history is just going to repeat, right? Amen. And David appeared, and I heard someone say that they were going to hire David to teach the class because he was experienced in spiritual warfare. Well, I believe this is speaking about the David man-child body of reformers who are coming on the scene to rid the elect of their demonic doctrines and spirits. Oh, there's so much confusion and so many lies and so many things that don't fit the scriptures out there. And once a person has respect for the scriptures, you know, and they understand that the sum of thy words is truth, they learn to know that they have to accept all scripture. They can't just come across a pet doctrine that looks good with the narrow scope that they're looking at. and ignore the rest of the scriptures, because having all of the scriptures, the sum of thy words is truth together, right? If we don't wait till we get the sum and we make up our mind too early, we get into confusion. We don't have to do that. We have to be children all the time, seeking and waiting on God to give us more and more food and more understanding. And we have to be open to that. The proud are not open to that. They make up their mind quickly, and they want to go out there and tell everyone how much they know. Oh, so here's another revelation given to Andrew Galinas again, and this was January the 17th of this year. And he called it the Red Dragon / Worm Epidemic. And it's kind of interesting. He said, my dream was an experience inside my parents' old house. Well, the thing I think about is many people, their education, their understanding, their works are all from their natural parents and that natural house of Christianity that they went through. But we have to make our parents and our house the early church and its forefathers in the faith, or we're not receiving what we need to receive to walk as he walked. 1 John 2:24 says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. So we don't need any new teaching, you see. Not that God's not going to give more revelation of the teachings, but all the teachings are going to agree. We don't need new teachings because God doesn't change his mind in a new age. He is still holding fast to the covenant, the eternal covenant, which he forbade us to change or add to or take away from. So he said, if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. We have to, you know, contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered unto the saints. It was once and for all delivered. We received that text, by the way, I believe it was yesterday morning, I'm not sure, but just recently. We have to contend earnestly for the faith which was once given to the saints, not the modern day faith where a bunch of apostates haven't walked in the steps of Jesus, don't believe in walking in the steps of Jesus, don't believe that Jesus has come to live in them and do in them the same thing that he's done before. They don't believe the word of God. You spend a lot of time in those churches, you'll fall away from the Lord. 1 John 3:11 says, for this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay. Well, the division that is in Christianity is not love. It is separation. It is faction. And God, Jesus prayed, I pray, Father, that they may be one as we are one. And so we have to learn how to come to the unity of the faith, or live in the unity of the Spirit till we come to the unity of the faith. So Isaiah 30:20-22 says this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, I'd say that the Lord is beginning to do that, yet shall not thy teachers be hidden any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Where? In the apostate house? No. 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. It's the way that was laid down. They called it the way in the book of Acts. It was already laid down. The steps are already laid down. We walk in those steps of those early disciples and our Lord Jesus. And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, in other words, don't get off the path. You know, listen to the word behind you. Don't get off the path with the rest of the church, right? Because they're really not the church. The church is the called out ones. You have to come out from among them just like Jesus' early disciples had to come out of every denomination in order to follow him, okay? And you shall defile the overlaying of your graven images of silver and the plating of thy molten images of gold. Yes, all of these idols that the church has made and men of institutions and so on and so forth, all of these idols have to be defiled. And thou shalt cast them away as an unclean thing. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Yes, forget what you learned from apostate churches that don't have the power of Jesus and don't have the doctrine of Jesus. The only way you can find that is go look for yourself. You know, you cannot trust man. Even men that are good looking and good speaking and so on, you can't trust them. You have to go to the Word yourself. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling, we're commanded. So, I opened the front door to a female humanoid, sparsely covered in wiry brown hair. Well, let me say, can you look out there and look at the church and tell me that it is the church? The church at this time does not resemble Christ or Christianity, but more resembles a beast, because they've been taught after the flesh and taught by fleshly people and not learned to walk in the Spirit or walk by faith or be obedient to the Word of God and the nature of Jesus, right? So they resemble a beast, but the reformers are going to take them in and teach them. He went on to say, it seemed to have the intelligence level and demeanor of a golden retriever. So I took pity on it and took it in. It seemed to be looking for sanctuary from something or someone. Well, I believe that this is speaking about the refugee woman church of Revelation 12 that will flee the dragon into the wilderness tribulation, as in Revelation 12. And this dragon is described in Revelation 12 as Satan in a seven-headed, ten-horned body, which is the seed of all the seven world beast bodies who have conquered God's people. And the ten horns are the ten continental divisions of the one world beast body. The ten kings, the ten horns, right? Or the ten continental divisions, right? And in the wilderness, the man-child feeds the woman the truth that sets free from beastly flesh so that she has lacked in apostate Christianity. They've not even been taught that you have to lose your life to gain your life. That there is a condition there Jesus gave. If you don't lose your life, you can't gain your life. And your life is that old natural life that you were raised up with, and even in the church you were raised up with. It's a beastly life. It's not a heavenly life. We're to walk in the steps of Jesus, so we have to be disciples, which is learners and followers. We have to know how to go. To know the way, we have to study the Lord. He's the way, right? Not any man in modern Christianity. He is the way, right? In Revelation 12, 3 through 6, you know, points this out. There was seen another sign in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his heads seven diadems. So the seven heads, of course, are the seven world beasts that the Bible mentions that have conquered God's people. And the ten horns are the ten kings of the end time over the ten continental divisions of planet Earth, which they have set up. Okay, and you will find out more about this as we go along, but that's what they have predicted. And his tail, that is the tail of the dragon, draweth a third part of the stars of heaven. That's Abraham's seed. That tells, the Lord has already told us who the stars of heaven are. And did cast them to the earth. That's the great falling away that the Lord predicted. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations, which the Lord says in chapter 3 that this child ruling over all nations is the overcomers. In case you don't know that, you can go back there and look. With a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. That's a dominion over the church and its enemies. That's what this throne represents. Dominion over the church and its enemies. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they, that is the man-child, may nourish her 1,260 days. Just exactly what Jesus did in the Gospels. Okay. So, history is repeating here, and the Lord is wanting to train his people in the ways of the kingdom, the restoration of the kingdom when God's people were taken into captivity to Babylonish religion, basically, and brought back out to go and rebuild the kingdom in the time of Cyrus, okay, which is Trump right now. Then I remember being on a couch facing the sliding glass door to a screened roof patio in the backyard. I was pretending to sleep when I noticed a small group of people walking through the yard close to the screened roofed patio. It seemed to be nighttime, only it was bright like day. I do believe that, you know, wise teachers, the man-child ministry, raising up the witnesses to go forth and raise up the church, they'll understand, they'll discern the time, they'll discern because they walk in the light, while others are walking in darkness because they don't know where they're going, and they need to understand. And they'll be able to guide the church through the wilderness tribulation. The people noticed me hiding under a blanket and pointed me out to each other. Then they noticed the creature hiding under a blanket on a couch in the patio. The post-human I was harboring seemed to be trying to escape a giant roundup or quarantine, and now I had become needlessly embroiled in it all. Underlining the entire dream was a sense of a global epidemic, similar to the one in the movie I Am Legend. I don't know that. I never did watch that, but... since Andrew had this dream in January, the COVID-19 has turned into a global epidemic, which we warned of over 2.5 years ago. But Andrew just came to us recently, and he didn't know about this. So the dream is speaking about something that's coming to pass, right? He said, at that moment, I had the thought that I could have avoided getting mixed up in all of this mess if I had only been praying and fasting more often. Well, this is a good exhortation here. We can escape these things. And I'm not talking about flying away to heaven. Jesus said, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man, you know. We're not talking about flying away to heaven. Revelation 14 is that stand before the Son of Man. That's the man-child on the earth. But he is standing on the mountain of God, which is the kingdom of God. And he went on to say, not getting caught up with the cares of the day. True. Right now, people really need to be seeking God first. They need to be running after the Lord. We need that education that is from above. We need that discernment. We need the gifts. We need holiness and righteousness and purity more than any of that. I overheard a conversation in the dream discussing the epidemic they referred to as the red dragon. Very interesting. Okay. You know, the red dragon is the beast who starts the tribulation in Revelation chapter 12. But it doesn't say that he was created there. It just says that, he begins his ministry there, so to speak. It is the deep state who created the epidemic, right? That kind of lets you know that they are the dragon, right? To bring down the economy so that they could destroy the man-child parallel in the government, which is President Trump, right? If you've been with us, you know that we've seen that there is a parallel between what's naturally going on in the government and in the world and what's going on in the spiritual realm with the man-child and the bride and so on and so forth. And President Trump is a parallel of the man-child. He has been brought in to change things, just like the man-child in the spirit realm is brought in to change things, restore things, right? But Trump is using this epidemic to bring down the dragon, because he's using it to send out his million-man army during all this confusion and epidemic to round people up, which he is doing right now. I'm going to say again that this defeat of the dragon is temporary, but it's going to continue for a while. It's temporary in order to give the people of God breathing time to seek out the Lord when they find out that's the most important education there is, seeking out the Lord, because if we do that, we will escape these things that are coming upon the world. And it's a temporary thing so that the kingdom can be renewed in the church. Well, God's people are coming out of Babylon. They know nothing about the true church. And so this is why you come back to your promised land. You get into the promises of God and you begin to grow up in Christ and are able to overcome these things. And the dragon was cast down through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, right? Yeah. He said, in reality, just one day earlier, I believe it was January the 16th, I saw a short news segment reporting that scientists had successfully altered the DNA of an earthworm to increase its lifespan by 500%. Gee, I wonder if the world will be overcome by worms. We always know men like to do stupid stuff that's against nature. And end up, you know, changing the balance, you know, of things in nature. I didn't spend much time pondering this afterwards, but after waking from the dream, I began going back over it and trying to recall everything I'd seen. I prayed for clarity, and soon God gave it to me. I suddenly recalled something I had read in one of my son's children's dictionary years ago. Under a picture of a red-colored earthworm, it stated that the word worm is an English word meaning dragon. You remember when Jacob was called a worm by God? It's because he was more like the dragon than he was like God's people should be, you know. Well, let me say that the dragon was a type of Egypt, you know. Pharaoh over Egypt was the dragon spoken of in Scripture. And it was Babylon's god, Bel, the dragon, sometimes called Bel the serpent. that was Babylon's god, the dragon. And the dragon was called the old serpent in Revelation 12. And this was before it lost its legs in the garden, right? It walked on its legs before that was taken away from it to eat the dust of the earth, right? So I believe that the epidemic that's turned pandemic will first be used by the man-child to conquer the dragon in our day. The spiritual man-child is doing spiritual warfare for a physical, political man-child, President Trump, who is removing temporarily the dominion of the dragon deep state. And everybody's rejoicing, but they don't realize the tribulation is coming. And even though the first 3.5 years of the tribulation will be relative peace with the government, there will come a rebellion in the middle of the tribulation period when the government turns against the church. It'll be like Daniel said in the beasts. He said, quote, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged. He was speaking about the beast kingdoms. They all were like that. And now, of course, we've got the seed of all of them alive today. Their lives have been prolonged. But their dominion was taken away one after the other, as each one conquered the previous one. Their dominion was taken away. But their lives are still with us. The people, the seed of all these previous kingdoms are still with us. And notice that the worm's life was prolonged. Yes, the dragon's life was prolonged. Ultimately, the world will be forced to embrace the UN dragon, Satan's democratic socialistic system. I mean, we can see it now. They're calling themselves democratic and socialistic. And, you know, and that's just a way to communism. That's all it is. When they get in power, suddenly they're communists. When they want to seduce you, they're democratic socialists. Okay. But Satan's democratic socialistic system is to bring in the harvest through the crucifixion under the last beast, which is Revelation 13, which is a beast that makes war on the saints. And it's communist in nature. Again, socialism is a way to communism. It's on the way to communism. All communists are socialists until they get in power. And if their power is limited, they don't get to go all the way, as in some governments. But if they gain unlimited power, they're communists. And their only interest is self. They don't have no interest in you whatsoever. If a communist gets in power, you're in trouble. They hate God. They hate Christians. Okay? That's just the way it is. And Trump, you know, as a Medo-Persian, Cyrus was a Medo-Persian. And Trump has come after that synonym there, will conquer the deep state Babylon for now, which leaves the world with a much more righteous system, as we can see. I mean, some of y'all probably don't know what's coming, but the plans are fantastic, you know, as far as taxes, government, getting back to the reformers at the beginning of America, who created a system much more honest than what we've got now, because all of the democratic socialists have broken in there and disobeyed and rebelled and very self-righteously come against anybody that wanted to stick with the Constitution, right? So the reformers, of course, want to go back to the Constitution. And that's what Cyrus Trump is doing, going back to the Constitution and the people that are with him. But you know what? Let me say that sinners rarely tolerate righteous rule for very long before they rebel under their father, who is the devil. They just don't last long. They don't want any constraints. They want to take away all constraints. And, of course, then pandemonium breaks out. And, of course, then they get to use that to rule as communists over the pandemonium. And basically they're the cream of the crop at the top that gets all the goodies, and you're just, everybody else is in poverty. Yeah. Yeah. Socialism always leads to poverty. So everybody's poor, you know. Psalm 2, 1 through 6. When I talk about rebellion, there's a rebellion coming. I mean, yes, it will be more righteous for a season, but rebellion is coming. It always does. I've only known of one nation who elected a truly Christian president, and after just a short term, they hated him. They cast him out. Because worldly people can't be forced under Christianity. It just can't happen. They're wicked. They're of their father, the devil. They're going to rebel. You know? So Psalm 2, 1 through 6. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And who is anointed of the Lord? Those that get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's called the anointing, right? And against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder. They call it bondage. They want to break all of the rules and cast away their cords from us. Take away all the restraint. Yeah, let anybody come into the country that wants to come into the country as long as they'll vote for us Democrats, right? Yeah, let them come in. We don't care if they're bringing in disease. We don't care what they're bringing in here. They're against Christians, and we like that. That's the attitude of this left-wing socialist bunch. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derisions. Then will he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Yep, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Even now he is enforcing an overthrow of the deep state. And this next revelation, Andrew Galinas, got this in February. War in heaven and the shofar sounding. Yes. In this dream, I entered my parents' old house in Port Charlotte, Florida, to find it seemed to be some sort of rendezvous point for believers. Well, I believe, knowing a little bit about the rest of this revelation, that the church in confusion is seeking answers. And that's because they were not prepared for tribulation. Yeah. They think they're just going to fly away. They're not getting prepared for what is coming. And that's what the man-child's coming to do, because the Lord knows the church is not prepared. They've learned all this baloney, and they need deliverance. There were about 10 or so people standing around waiting, and as I stood there, the sound of metal weapons clanging together and warriors shouting was very audible, as if a huge battle was being fought only several feet above the ground in the first heavens. Sound familiar? Yeah. Satan and his angels warring against Michael and his angels, who were enforcing the prayers of the saints to cast Satan down, who was seeking to devour the woman in the wilderness, right? Yes. The noise came from all directions as if it covered the entire face of the earth. Well, yes, that's right. I walked over to the rear dining room window where an African American man stood, just outside the window. He was a famous actor and TV personality I recognized, whose name I later learned is Terry Crews. And then he has a note, wait, then move on, right? Terry and Crews. He was looking up at the sky, And I asked him through the open window what it was he was seeing. Without breaking his gaze at the sky and with an excited smile, he simply replied, "Loki." And then in parenthesis, Andrew put, "God of mischief." Yes. Well, we know who the God of mischief is, right? Satan, he's the God of mischief, and he's going to lose this battle and be cast down for a short time. I then walked back towards the center of the house, where I noticed all the while more people had been showing up every few minutes. And as I stood there waiting, suddenly the amazing and unmistakable and very real sound of a shofar being blown rang out long and clear through the atmosphere. It gives me goosebumps recalling it now. Well, I believe that this was the call for the people to leave the camp of apostate Christianity to meet God at Sinai, where the law was given through Moses, another type of the man-child. And, of course, the man-child is to educate the people in the ways of God and not man, and lead them through the wilderness, which they don't think they're going to. So, anyway, they're going to need an education how to live in the wilderness. You know, you can't live by sight in the wilderness. You have to live by faith in God's promises. You're going to get fed out of heaven and water out of the rock and these kind of things. So God wants to change his people. He wants them to be spiritual and not carnal like they are now. So, and the text, of course, Exodus 19:15-17 says, "And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day." That's where we are now, right? The third thousand year day. "Come not near a woman." And that means come out of the denominational sects and the education of man. "And it came to pass on the third day that when it was morning," the morning of the third day, which is where we are now, "that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of a trumpet exceedingly loud." There it is, right there. "And all the people that were in the camp trembled." You know why? Because they knew it wasn't godly. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp." That's where we have to suffer, according to Hebrews 13, right? We suffer without the camp, like Jesus did, right? "And Joshua was outside the camp," always in the tabernacle with God, you know. "And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount." And as you also know, Moses received the law to give to the people. Why is it? Because they were the people of God, but they didn't have the law. And they were now going into the wilderness, and they did not have the law. And they don't have it now. That's why you have to come out of the camp to get it. You can't get it there. "Immediately, everyone headed for the door." Yeah, praise God. The trumpet sounded. Let's get out of here. What are we doing here? You know, "I paused and turned around to look over at the kitchen table where all my kids' homeschool books and supplies were stacked up. And for a very brief moment, I wrestled with whether or not I should grab them so they could continue in their learning in the journey." Well, you know what? They're not going to need that. They're not going to need that on this journey. We have a short time left by that time. And as we see, we need to go to the mount to get God's education, not the carnal education that we got. "Then I looked forward towards the front door and saw that the house was nearly empty. So I scrambled for the door, leaving the books behind." Yeah. Uh-huh. So in the, let me interpret this just a little bit for you. In the spiritual battle to come, the only education that will matter will be spiritual education to put on the armor of God, for the time is running out. And we're going to be made war on by the beast, right? The man-child will receive from God the education that we need, like Moses did on the mount, right? That's the education we need. Everybody needs it. You know, kids when they go to church, sometimes they don't even act like they're in training to be grown-up Christians. They're goofing off. You know? No, they need to start learning right away. This is the education we have to succeed and not be a part of the falling away. Oh. So it was a moonlit night when I had entered the house, but now as I ran out, it was a bright and sunny afternoon. I made it to the street when the thought of my four children suddenly entered my mind. Children back there with them books. I looked behind me and was relieved to see that someone else had helped them out the door. Oh, good. Praise God. And left the books behind, too, didn't they? And they were now running not far behind me. Praise the Lord. Believe for your children. Believe. You know, you can't force education on your children. You have to do your best to make them like it. And you have to bring correction. But they will grow up, and a lot of times do their own thing. But if you've taught them correctly, they'll return, right? And besides that, even if you haven't, even if you fail totally at that, you trust God. You believe you have received when you pray for them, and you trust God for them, right? But their education that you think is so important is not going to be important. What's going to be important is how they walk with God. And that's why Moses went up Sinai, to find out. At that point, I felt overcome with pure joy, laughing to myself as I ran down the street. There was an endless procession of people making their way down Veterans Boulevard towards King's Highway. Yes, we got to get on the King's Highway. It's the highway to Zion, right? No beast can go up there on the highway to Zion. We're headed to Zion because either you're going to be in the bride or you're going to be under the bride, but we still have to go to Zion. And Zion is the bride. And the man child is David that ruled in Zion over the bride and over the rest of the church, so to speak, as the type and the shadow, right? Well, yep, Veterans Boulevard, that reminds me of those first disciples and apostles. You know, they were veterans. They did the walk. They showed us the way. They showed us what to do. They showed us what not to do. You know, God put it in his book so we would have examples. We want to follow the Veterans Boulevard, right, towards the King's Highway. How cool. This is what we need. We need to walk in the Spirit of God. This cannot be taught by a bunch of carnals who have never lived in the Spirit of God. Now, they might be very educating. They might even be very moralizing. But moralizing will not get you there. The only thing that will get you there is faith. You have to understand the gospel and his story. That is history. His story. We have to understand that Jesus made those disciples, and he wants us to be the same exact kind of disciples those were. Because he didn't change. Men changed because they fell short of the Bible. They had to make excuses for why they're falling short. So guess what? The Bible got the dings and they didn't. Yeah. Well, we'll just forget the Bible. God doesn't do it that way anymore. You know? So now the people don't have an education. They got an education how to walk on the earth, but they don't have an education on how to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so, once again, our Moseses are going to Mount Sinai to get the rules and regulations from the Lord and bring them back and give them to the people so they can know how to make it through the wilderness, which is the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and Revelation 17. There's only one thing that we need to make it through the wilderness. It is that spiritual education that we get from God. Yes, you say, well, you know, in the wilderness, we still have to obey the rules and laws. Oh, yes, that's I agree 100%. But let me tell you what you better do. when it comes time that you are running from the beast and don't have time for your homeschool books, it's then that you're going to need to know God, and your children are going to need to know God and know how to walk in the Spirit. You might as well start walking by faith now, so when you get there, you'll have what you need, right? Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Father, so much for all that you're doing for us in educating us. Thank you, Lord, that you're offering something much higher. It's a knowledge for eternity, not a knowledge to walk on the earth. In eternity, we have plenty of time to learn all the other things, you know. But to get there, we have to know what God gave Moses on the mountain. No, not the law, but the Word of God. You know, that's what I'm talking about. It's just a type and a shadow of the Word of God, right? So, this is what they need. This is what they need desperately. If you're homeschooling kids and you're not weaving God into all of it, ask God to help you to do that, because this is the most necessary. And there'll come a time when you won't be able to homeschool your kids at all. In the middle of the tribulation, the beast is going to be making war on the saints, and you're just going to be dodging the beast while you do the work of the kingdom and get the word out and teach your children to walk in the kingdom, because that's heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's a place of safety, by the way, in walking in Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus, he taught us how to dodge the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herod. He even disappeared out of their midst a couple of times. And people were sprung out of jail, you know, and things like that. And it was faith that did that. It wasn't worldly education. I'm calling worldly education not only the worldly education of the arithmetic and the, so on and so forth. I'm talking about the worldly education you get in the church, because that's what they're given, is a worldly education. And they're calling it Christianity. But when you look at them, you know it's not Christianity if you've ever read the book one time. You know? So this is what the children need. This is the education that's most important. They don't have to be highly skilled in the world, in the ways of the world, in the education of the world. In fact, let me say, if you send your children to these colleges, you better be ready, and you better pray for them. I'm not recommending you send any of them to what they call higher education, because look out there and look at the people that have done this. They all come back atheists. So, I don't recommend it. I've seen too many. So, they put every kind of antichrist thought in their minds. My children are all making a good living. I only had one who went to higher education, and that's the problem. That is the problem. Yeah. I mean, eternal life has to be worth more than this physical life, and making money in this physical life. And the colleges are totally taken over by these antichrists. And praise God, if you can find one that doesn't, or if you send them to a Christian college. But if you send them to a Christian college, you're very likely going to have to re-educate them after you get them out. Look at the Pharisees and Sadducees. They all went to the, quote, Christian college, you know. But Jesus chose people that were fishermen, tax collectors. He didn't teach people from the college. And when he did get a guy from the college, Paul, he had to knock his brains out and start over. So anyway, thank you for joining us today, saints. God bless you. Hope this has helped you a little bit. And we love you and we appreciate you. Father, thank you so much. And Lord, thank you for Michael coming and sharing something with the saints. We ask you to bless him and bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night.